Cover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Should you want to send us an email, you're welcome to do so as long as it's positive and encouraging. Okay, it needs to be a K-Love email, positive and encouraging. You can do that at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Ray Pritchard, Ray.
Hey.
You like positive and encouraging emails?
That's the only... that's not the only kind I get, but okay. those are the ones that I like. The right. K-Love emails, right?
Yeah, K-Love. K-Love, for those who don't know, is a sister Christian radio network, and they play music.
That's positive and encouraging.
And they build themselves as positive and encouraging. I thought, that's a great thing. So we'll just take that and say, any emails that we get here.
That's how we want
American
them.
Family
that's
Radio.
That's how we like them.
Yeah. But the vast, vast majority of folks who write us and email us and
send letters,
call us, are encouraging.
That's right. Yep.
To us. We try our very best to do what God wants us to do here.
Mm-hmm. I've got a trivia question. I don't want to mess up your train of thought.
Well, I don't have one, but what is your trivia question?
I'm sitting here thinking, how?
Wait, Steve Paisley Jordahl's in the house.
Am I on the right days?
Yeah, you know, you're here, brother. No. We welcome you to this show.
He walked in on Trivia Friday.
I don't know. Yeah, I've always wanted
but
to
he just had a trivia. Wesley has a trivia question out of the blue. What is it?
How did we end up with today's issues? Because that kind of boxes you in. You have to cover today's issues.
Because it's been that way for 30 years.
Okay. And all right.
It's always been that way, Wesley, and we're not changing it.
Okay.
It's always been this way.
Next right. question.
So now.
We're not changing it.
So if we cover anything other than today's issues, then I need you to comment at where?
All right. Why don't you just tell our listeners what you're about to get ready. Let's change the subject here because this is getting under my skin.
The steroids are kicking.
I'm not able to hide it.
I'm kidding.
I'm not
love
changing
the
name of the show.
I'm not changing the name.
Or the music.
Name. Or the music.
The way it's always been. The way it always will be.
Dead gummit.
Okay. Turkey hunting opens up when?
Yeah. So for those that live in Mississippi and other surrounding states in the south of Mississippi, turkey season opens up this weekend for adults. It was youth season last weekend. We've also got SEC baseball. And for those that are into travel ball, you got a lot of travel ball games going on this weekend.
So spring is good. You like spring.
Spring is good.
So what's the most challenging part of turkey hunting?
Well, if they could smell, you would never.
Who could?
If the turkey, well, now, that's an obvious one. But
turkeys can't smell?
Turkeys cannot smell, but if they could, what? A turkey would be impossible to kill because their eyesight is so good. But because they can't smell.
Is that what makes it challenging?
The most challenging thing is their eyesight.
So did you know that turkeys can't smell?
I had no idea. No, they can't smell.
Mm-hmm. Did you know they got COVID then, I guess?
Bird flu. Yeah.
I had no idea.
No, that's a distraction from the point. The point is they can see as good as any animal. Out there.
They'll see you from a long way away.
Long ways. And the slightest movement.
Yeah. So that's what makes it a challenge.
It's challenging. That's why
people like turkey hunting is with the challenge of.
Challenge and maybe from a picture, they may just kind of look like, yeah, I don't know. But up close,
Do you like the taste of them?
Yeah.
Wild turkeys?
The wild turkeys, but they're.
I'm not talking about the liquor. I'm talking about the.
That's right. Yeah. I mean. The taste of the meat that comes from wild turkey is the best wild game meat that I've ever had. And I probably have had about a dozen. I don't even have to. You can put seasoning on it because I do, but you don't have to.
Well, you throw something. You kill your turkey, put it on the grill, and call me, and I'll come over.
Oh, I will.
Taste it for you.
It's phenomenal.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So that's this weekend for those that.
All right, Steve, speaking of turkeys, there are a lot of them in Washington, D.C.
Boy, are there. And they're kind of making noise, if you will. Did anybody notice yesterday for about an hour and a half or so, around 1 or 2, that X went down? Old Twitter.
I heard about
it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You knew that, right?
Rumble
mine
did too.
Went down.
Did it? Did that have anything to do with this? Or do we
I don't
have
know.
No connection?
Okay. I have no idea. It might be. Yeah. It's what's called a distributed denial of service attack. Basically, people who don't want your website to function or they get millions and millions of bots to make requests at the same time to overwhelm the servers. Yeah. Dry mouth today. I'm having a hard time talking.
Sounds like someone's cheating somewhere.
Well, it's an attack on the on the network, so I don't know if it's cheating, but they're not real people, but they flood the servers with so many requests that it takes the server down, and that's what happened to Twitter yesterday, and it's only the latest attack on Elon Musk. Donald Trump, our president, put out a truth tweet, whatever, yesterday. To Republicans, conservatives, and all great Americans, Elon Musk is putting it on the line in order to help our nation, and he's doing a fantastic job. But the radical left lunatics, as they often do, are trying to illegally and collusively boycott Tesla. So there's a Tesla boycott among the Hollywood elites.
Okay, you missed a really big point, though, in the first story on X. Where did the attack come from?
The cyber attack?
Cyber attack on X.
It was for those who, just to reiterate, there was a cyber attack on X, X being formerly known as Twitter. Yesterday, Ray experienced it because he's on there, and the website went down, so to speak, because of the attack.
My question is, where did the attack come from?
Well, I don't know. Does Elon Musk know the answer to that?
Yes.
It's a blue sky. It's a Democrat user. A pro-Palestinian hacking group called Dark Storm Team has laid claim to the hacking activists.
Okay, that's more information than I read this morning. Elon Musk said himself that the IP address can be directly traced back to Ukraine.
A pro-Palestinian group, Pux Arcs. Blue Sky user, they claimed responsibility. So I don't know if that's true. I mean, somebody could claim.
What about Elon Musk's? So the Tesla automobile dealerships,
right.
Some of them have been under attack, right?
Yes, and trucks have been set on fire and a whole bit. Here's the response I love especially. Alyssa Milano, the actress, the Never Trump actress, is indicative of this. She posted yesterday, I gave back my Tesla, instead purchased a Volkswagen electric vehicle. So, Ray, in order to fight fascism, she sells her Tesla and buys a Volkswagen from... Germany.
German car company.
That's fighting fascism, by the way. Didn't hurt
Donald. The irony.
Didn't hurt Donald at all. She
it's very difficult to be consistent with the boycott, but that's certainly... ironic.
He's taking a lot of heat, Musk is, for the argument is, well, he wasn't elected to anything. How can he get inside of our databases? And he's not allowed.
Fauci was not elected.
Well, a lot of people are not elected. The president is not going to go into, for example, he has advisors and people he appoints to do stuff for him. He doesn't do the everyday stuff. If the IRS needs to be audited, he doesn't himself go to the IRS. He gets his people to go to the IRS. Not all of them are Senate appointed or confirmed or elected either. So there's nothing unique about what Elon is doing here, but he's sure making a lot of people on the left angry.
Well, there is something unique about what he's tasked to do.
Right.
Office of Government Efficiency, that is find fraud, waste, and abuse in federal agencies, but it is new that somebody would do that.
Yeah, let me. It is what I was referring to is his position as being an employee of a signed person without being elected.
Appointed
person is not unique. Yes, what he is doing has not happened before. A lot of people have promised it, but not yet.
Go ahead, next story.
All right. There is a lot of anger out there in the world, and we've seen a couple examples of it. I want to take you to a track meet in Virginia where a high school runner, kids, it was a class 3 state championship, indoor state championship, and a relay race was going on, you know, they carried the batons. Well, this gal called Alelia Everett was getting bumped and jostled by another fellow runner who was Kayleen Tucker. And Tucker was crowding her a little bit maybe, but when she passed her, Everett took the baton and just whacked her over the head with it. Cut her scalp, gave her a concussion. And so now she is saying that she's having a hard time here. It's sad because I'm on my shot sheet here. Listen to how she says.
Are we about to hear?
We're about to hear the victim or the victimizer. The victimizer, the girl with the baton that hit the other girl. She says, "I know that maybe her feelings are hurt, but I have feelings too. Someone should care about me."
Everybody has feelings, so you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental, right? They're going off of one angle. A couple times hitting her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose. They're assuming my character, calling me ghetto, racist slurs, death threats, all of this just because of a 9-second video.
Okay, so this young lady we just heard from.
Yes.
She was the one, I saw the video, she whacked the other girl on the back of the head with the baton.
Yep.
I'm watching it now.
It was
as you just described. She whacked
another person. She lost, the girl unfortunately lost her temper and got up, and in a momentary lapse of judgment, that's the best way I can describe it, she whacked her opponent. I've never seen anything like it, on the head with a baton as she was passing her. But now she's trying to claim she's the victim.
That's the story here.
She lost her balance.
This wouldn't be a story otherwise.
She lost her balance. She says she was trying to grab onto the baton, got caught in the other girl's uniform racing.
And this was a day later, but she had time to think about
it. Did you see this, Ray?
I did. It's just...
That is the victimhood mentality that has swept across.
She
America
would do better.
It
took her 4 days to respond. She would have done better just to say, "You know what? I lost control of my emotions, and I'm terribly sorry that I whacked the girl in the head." And
bad sportsmanship.
And,
I'm going to do better.
I'm going to.
I'll take whatever punishment comes my way.
She'd have done better to do that because.
But she's cried.
To try to say,
"What about her emotions?
You got. Right. Yeah, you need sympathy." And you're the one who whacked the girl on the head. Steve, did you see any way that could have possibly been some kind of a...
It was not. It was most definitely on purpose. She just got angry that she was being passed.
Right.
But that's not the only athletic event I want to talk about, because there was a high school basketball game in Pennsylvania. And I think there was a fight that started. I might have started on the court with a hard foul, but it quickly went up into the stands. Basketball dads beating each other up. Two arrests were made, at least. And it was just a...
So WrestleMania broke out at a high school basketball game.
It was awful.
Okay.
And so I have... We're listening.
We want to highlight it.
Yes. Psychotherapist Tom Kersting has a take on this, and he says our culture is getting a little bit protective and hostile. Cut 4.
And I am currently sitting in the principal's office at a school in New Jersey. We're about to do a lecture. When I was a kid, right, if I was in the principal's office, here's the difference. There's been a societal shift. If I was in the principal's office 30 years ago, I'm terrified because I'm going to have to deal with my parents when I get home. This generation, in many cases, if their kid is in the principal's office, the parent is going to say, well, what did the teacher do to make my son or daughter do A, B, C, or D? So there's this sort of protective nature taking place, coupled with just hostility and anger everywhere we look. And as a result, these are the kinds of things that are manifesting.
Well, listen, when it comes to athletic competition, it's up to the adults, the parents and the coaches to instill sportsmanship into their athletes and respect for rules, even if they feel like they've been wronged or an injustice was committed. You can't just lash out violently at other people or start, you know, hitting the opponent over the head with a baton we need to restore civility, and in some cases maintain civility, mm-hmm. in athletic competition.
This past weekend when we were playing baseball and I was coaching my son's baseball team, the umpire brought us to home plate before the game and said that
the coaches or the players or both?
The umpires brought us, the one coach and two players, to the home plate before the game and said, went over all the rules and foul balls and some of the things that he thought was needed to be up front. And then he concluded with saying, out of all of this, my number one thing that I want to see today is good sportsmanship. And he said it starts with the coaches and then both good and bad. He said that the fans and the parents respond based on the coaches most of the time. Now, sometimes you have a parent that acts on their own, but they said the parents and players respond to the coaches. So his point was he was emphasizing that the coaches need to lead by example, and I believe that to be true. And in many cases, that also starts before you even get to the fields or before you get to the court. So, we need to see more of that for sure. We're seeing this quite a bit in the NBA, too. There was also an NBA fight not quite fist fight that broke out, but it was getting close to it with Kevin Durant and another player just yesterday. So yeah, to your point with these stories, we need better leadership both on and off the court.
Next story, Steve.
All right, Wesley, you hunt, don't you?
I enjoy it.
How many guns do you own?
Do I have to give a number?
Well, no, yeah, ballpark.
I'm kidding. I was joking.
He's loaded. He's ready for.
I got 12.
12.
Yeah, 12 firearms.
There is a law that is being passed in California that will restrict the rights that a person who has a firearm has to defend himself or herself.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Hansen, a Democrat from Denver, is introducing the legislation.
From Denver?
From Denver.
I thought you said California.
I think you meant Colorado.
I'm sorry. This is Colorado. My mistake.
Okay. That's Denver. They moved Denver to California.
There's a lot of
places. It's one and the same. They're interchangeable.
A lot of places that would actually fit. Anyway, this is a encourage. They say it's to encourage responsible gun ownership. This bill would eliminate certain circumstances under which homicide is justifiable. In other words, deadly force. One of those is in defense of habitation or property. So when somebody walks into your house, under current law in many states, if they enter your house, you are allowed to defend yourself and shoot them, and they could die. That is a castle doctrine is what it's called.
That's the risk that someone takes from entering someone else's house without permission.
99% of the time, something like that is a burglar or robber or someone coming in to do harm.
Otherwise,
armed themselves.
Otherwise, they ring the doorbell or they call you and say, "I'm out front."
There are certain times when mistakes happen, but that's the vast majority are is someone with ill intent is coming into your home. Well, this bill would say you can't use your gun, and also, it would clarify circumstances in which homicide is not justifiable, including, among others, when a person uses more force than necessary to defend against a danger. Now, that seems to me to be a pretty loose definition of what force is. How do they determine what force is necessary?
This in Colorado. Is this passed in the legislature? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's an assembly bill. And, forgive me because I'm confusing two stories here. I got another one. I got one from Colorado. This one is from California. Sorry, and it is a bill that's being passed, considered in the California Assembly. I know I'm being a little bit confusing with these two. let me get to the second one here in a second. But even police sometimes have a hard time determining what level of force to use against somebody. And how is somebody that's just a civilian who doesn't run in conflicts every day,
right,
how do they determine what's right? So that's number one in a way to maybe help curb gun ownership. This is the second thing. This one is in Colorado. Please forgive me for the confusion there, but Senator Chris Hansen is introducing a bill that would require firearm carriers to have insurance, forcing them. If you own a gun, you have to pay liability insurance just in case your gun shoots somebody.
Now,
as they will. You know, guns get up and
they walk around. Yeah, they have a life of their own, right?
And so, again, this is just putting more bars on gun ownership.
Both of these are blue states and or blue cities?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, California's a lost cause.
Yes.
Colorado's about there.
And I don't just say that lightly, because I do believe I try to hold out to as much hope as possible in all cases. I'm probably the last to say I give up, but California, yeah.
Well, let me just say this. That's a broad general statement I made. There are many parts of California that people live in.
Oh, every part but the cities.
Right.
Yeah.
That are very conservative and also have good values and common sense, and they're law and order people.
Yeah.
Your Central Valley.
A lot of Christians.
Yeah. But as a whole, because of Los Angeles and San Francisco primarily and the large populations there, they dominate state politics.
They keep reelecting
left-wing wackadoodle laws.
And then another one.
And they hate guns. These left-wing wackadoodles hate guns. They hate the Second Amendment. They wish it didn't exist. And now they're rising up in Colorado, which used to be a red state. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened, Ray. You know what happened to Colorado? It used to be a red state. Now it's blue.
Colorado was reliably red for decades. Decades, Tim, right?
Yes.
Always red. Okay, Steve, when did it turn purple, and how does it end up blue?
Well, it turned purple. There's a gay rights person named Tim Gill who dumped a ton of money into the state and to affect elections. He started – I actually knew people who worked for him. And that was what kind of started the shift. It was, and you remember back in the 80s, I guess, Colorado Springs, Colorado, had such a favorable business tax rate that all kinds of nonprofits, Christian nonprofits, ministries, started putting their headquarters there. Focus on the families there.
Right.
The Navigators are there. The Homeschool Defense Fund, the homeschooling people, and just tons of others, and it was the mecca for ministries, really, but
sure.
The gay lobby came in, and that's what turned it blue, Ray. It was sometime between 2001 and 2010 that it started going purple, and it's just gotten worse.
This would be a great question when we have Jenna Ellis on, because she's talked about this. She's from Colorado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's talked about how it shifted from how it was deep red when she was there to now it's embarrassingly blue for her now. But
yeah,
we have her on from time to time, and we want to make note of that. Jenna Ellis would be great.
And let me just say again, I said California's a lost cause. I mean, at least for the foreseeable future, the deep blue politics of California is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the people.
Yeah. I think we knew what you meant, but it's good to clarify.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
My thanks to Wesley and Steve and Fred and Brent Creeley, our producer. We hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Keep listening throughout the afternoon here on AFR. And we'll see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never.